A boundless reservoir. My name is Chris Norris, and gang, we made it. It's Friday, right? What's the old song? Everybody's working for the weekend. Unfortunate theology that has swept across the mentality. But sometimes I think that's where a lot of us probably envision ourselves as seeing the conclusion of a week that maybe was long and fretful. So here we are. You know, I think that every day is a blessing, and the opportunities that we have before us to make the most of what God has granted, we take it one step at a time. So, got to go eat breakfast this morning at the Waffle House with my bride. Yeah, I had some country ham. I know, I get back to food again. My apologies. Maybe we will talk about engines or NASCAR one day. I know some people that would like that. All of a sudden, a name came into my mind when I said NASCAR. Landon, shout out to Landon. But anyway, yeah, so here we are, and Friday is before us, and the weekend, of course, and then whatever you have planned, if you are working, or maybe not, maybe you have a couple days off this weekend. But, you know, I had said yesterday that one of the things that had happened in yesterday's schedule was it's a meeting with my fellow brothers in Christ at church, and you know I thought more and more about one of the phrases that we've kind of been talking through. We're gonna pause on James for just a moment and then pick back up on that Monday, but just kind of I guess had some time to process the whole thing about heart change, you know, and a lot of times I know that's a term or a phrase that is used, and I feel that we would even sometimes equate that, of course, with people that have made some profession of faith or made a profession of faith, and therefore they have changed, they have accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior and repented of their sins and confessed Him, and so that He is Lord of their life. And so, you know, there's heart change, but then, you know, we would say many times, and this is just my experience throughout being involved in church and being basically around it pretty much my whole life, is some of the fruits that we see in people's lives that are affiliated with the church don't always resemble heart change. And then furthermore, the fruits that seem to be a continuous pattern, I'll say pattern because, again, this has been years of observation. And why I say pattern is, for instance, like it's always been difficult, right? So just bear with me as I go down this rabbit trail. It's always been difficult to find people to volunteer with children and nursery. That's just a common thing. If you go to any church, possibly the ones that I've been a part of, and I know this is a blanket statement, right? So this is like an accusation coming from an individual that's over here in North Carolina, South Gastonia, North Carolina, that probably hasn't traveled throughout the United States to every single church and taken polls and researched, you know, everything deliberately. But what I have seen in the limited space that I've been a part of, it's almost like, and then even other conversations, right, with other friends or pastor friends or acquaintances, it's a challenge. It's a common pattern. It's a common theme. it's a common thing that people are somewhat half committed instead of being fully committed, that church is optional. You know, serving is optional, but yet their profession is stating that they are believers in Jesus Christ, whom they follow after, but there's options in how they follow. It's just interesting to me that I guess what I struggle with is you would take away from that assessment, right, that has been made from this, that observation. Is there heart change? You know, and then, of course, the argument could be made, well, people respond to things differently, and so therefore, just because maybe they're not as involved as you or someone else or however that may, be demonstrated. I guess my thing is that it goes back to the driver of, if there is heart change, then there is something within us that desires to fulfill what Christ has not only shared and demonstrated in his own life, but he also commanded. And again, as I have stated so many times, that the importance of what Scripture means for us as believers is that we are basically using it as a compass to be directed in the right path that God desires for us to follow after, and not be dictated or maneuvered by other strategies that come from worldly viewpoints that we so often desire more than we desire to hear from his word. You know, one of the, and maybe there's a little bit of frustration coming across in my voice right now. I don't know if it's frustration as more as it is just, it's heartache for people. Heartache for people, especially in our churches. Because it's almost like this, the substitution of something that they think is more valuable than what God has given them to be a part of and what he has granted for them to have, but yet they want something else. So, you know, like I had referenced the other day with the Israelites. They complained to Moses, "We should have just stayed in Egypt. You brought us out here to die, Moses." And that's here we are. You know, I remember this so often. I know this is probably like petty, but I remember one time we were having a small groups back at I guess when small groups were a thing. Maybe they are not now, I'm not sure, but I remember that the playoffs were going down, you know, and it was football season, and everybody was like, "You're not gonna have small groups during playoff season, are you? Surely we're not gonna, you know, break out the Bible." I know, being facetious, but yeah. So we're gonna have small groups. You know, they'll be playoffs again next year, and Lord willing, if he allows us to see the next year. And what was so fascinating about that too was the team that they were wanting to see got beat. You know, you equate that with all the emotional turmoil that people get involved in for some expectation of excitement that will bring pleasure or joy that's so temporal. You know, it's like the firecracker, right? It's bright and loud and wonderful, but it's there's no substance there. So it's yes. I often wonder about the heart of the matter. The heart of the matter. And I guess that really kind of hits us right in the face when we say, you know, what matters? sports, TV. You know, oftentimes you cut the news on and there's such an array of, you know, focal direction of, hey, this is going on and this is, you know, this is bad. This is, and it's just hyped up for so long. And whatever that, and I'm not making light of things that may have happened, but it's like it's magnified. And so therefore we're drawn to whatever that is. And, you know, so be it with a lot of other things that kind of pulls at us. Right. And I think that's the tragedy for people who say that they follow Christ, but yet the fruits don't really show it. I had a friend tell me, and you would maybe equate this to just maybe some ignorant statement, but I don't think it's ignorant. I think it's very beneficial for us to kind of listen to. But he said, you know, if you were out in the field and you're standing there and you look at a tree and you see the tree before you, and you notice it's got branches, it's got leaves, but you don't really know what kind of tree that is. Now, an individual could come up to you and say, hey, that is an apple tree. And you could listen to that person and say, okay. And then another individual could come up and say, hey, that's an orange tree. And you could say, okay, that's what they said. But you will never know what that tree actually is until it produces the fruit in which it yields. So that means you'll have to watch that tree. That was shared with me. I'll give credit to my relative that shared that with me. I've taken that to heart. So much in a way, and I say taking it to heart, so much in a way that it burdens me that I watch things and I've been a part of people's lives. And the proclamation that has been their anthem throughout is that I believe in Jesus. I follow Jesus. I believe the Bible. I think the Bible is God's word. They've made all these affirmations, but yet the fruit isn't there. And you take away from that, that you say, well, are you being judgmental? Aren't you being harsh? You yourself are not perfect. And I know I'm not. No, Chris Norris is not a perfect individual. If anything, as Paul said, the chief of all sinners, I'm probably right behind him, if not before him. I am a failed creation. I have failed in many ways, and I still make mistakes. But my heart's desire, as I have thought through these times in my life again and again, why is it that I'm here? Why is it that God has allowed me to live the life that I have? Why has He given me what He has? Even though maybe I may consider it as something that's not really that significant. And that's my own failure for recognizing how good and precious the gift of salvation is. That it's through Christ and Him allowing me to see that I needed Him, that He found me, that He saved me, He redeemed me. And so if that is the anthem of my life, if that's what I'm willing to die for, to proclaim that truth, then there has to be fruit. And some of the fruit that you see off of a tree, it may be battered, you know, it may be bruised. Some of the branches aren't always straight. But are you producing? And I think that's what it boils down to. The heart of the matter is what are we doing? So I want to read this passage, or not this passage, but there's a book by John Piper, and it's a quite lengthy book. It's called Providence, and if you have some time to read it, it might take you a while, but there's a lot of insight that he shares. And it says this on when I say lengthy book, now I'm fixing to tell you the page number, 637. This is what he says. If you think the phrase happiness in God is too frivolous, then substitute the reality of treasuring God. Sin is treasuring anything above God. Holiness is the opposite of sin. Therefore, treasuring God above all things is the essence of holiness. Jesus said, "Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." In Matthew chapter 10, verse 37. In other words, if our hearts make peace with the disposition that says our greatest treasure on earth are more precious than Jesus, then we are not Christians. Friends, the greatest treasure that we have is Christ. May we reflect the treasure that we have. A boundless reservoir. My name is Chris Norris. And I pray you have a good weekend, and I'll talk to you soon.